Hello, and welcome to Egalia Chats. I'm Eric Meyer, and I'm a developer advocate here at Egalia.
And I am Brian Cardell. I am also a developer advocate at Egalia. And today we have two very special guests on the show, first-time guests from Microsoft. Guests, do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Clint Covington. I lead the productivity effort, or the accessibility effort for Microsoft productivity products. So that means Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, SharePoint, Teams, OneDrive, most of the things that people use for daily work.
Hi, I'm Peter Wu. I'm a software engineer at Microsoft. I work on PowerPoint, and in the past over a decade, I've been focused on the accessibility of the experience and helping people create accessible content using PowerPoint.
So you might be wondering, what does that have to do with Egalia, and why are we having the Microsoft people on Egalia Chats talk about Office and PowerPoint and those kinds of things? And it is because of the intersection of the accessibility work and specifically some interesting stuff that Microsoft does and actually has driven for a long time about math. And yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about any of that. Clint, you had some thoughts on it being a sort of a bigger effort.
Yeah, so things at Microsoft had been really interesting for the last couple of years. About 2.5 years ago, we had some employees approach our executives and say, hey, it's really important for us to be able to use Windows out of the box for daily work. And our executives came and said, like, we really want to support this, and we want to make sure that we've invested to make sure that Windows has a great out-of-the-box accessibility experience. We determined one of the big gaps for that was the screen reader experience. So we started funding work to improve Narrator. We've made, I don't know, 150 bug fixes at least. We've added new features such as a Braille viewer and a Braille HID support. We've been working closely with the M365 apps teams like Word, Excel, and PowerPoint to build a great out-of-the-box experience and just go through the freeway scenarios and tick those things off. So we've made improvements to spelling and comments and the PowerPoint design view experience. We're working on the PowerPoint slideshow experience. Well, and PDF, I know you guys care a lot about PDF as well. So, that's an area where we've made a lot of investments on. One of the areas that came up in there was math. And we had this realization, I think, that math, especially inside of Word, is particularly important to the blind community.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I watched a talk that I know Pete had been preparing this talk for a while. Y'all did some work with DAISY, is that right?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Richard Orme, I don't know if y'all know him, but he's the CEO of DAISY. DAISY Consortium is a group of organizations that care deeply. It's a nonprofit that care deeply about accessible content. Well, Richard reached out to me and said, hey, Clint, we would love to work closer with you on improving the math experience. We have a math group of people, experts in the community that care a lot about math, and there's some bugs, there's some challenges. And when he made that call, I'm like, oh crap, like we don't really have anybody working on the math stuff right now. We got to figure out how we're going to do that. But the thing that Richard really highlighted to me is, if you're blind and you need to do your math homework, you're not going to use a piece of paper and pencil. You're most likely going to use the Word Equation Editor because it really is the best in class for that experience. And what that flipped for me in my head is, up until this point, I always thought of equations as just like another one of the content side of Word. You have tables and lists and comments. It's just, equations is just one of the other things. I think Richard's conversation with me helped me realize that the Equation Editor is more of an assistive technology for that community. And when we look at assistive technology, we stop looking at MAU and how we're going to drive broad usage to things. We start to look at how important is this for that community and how blocked is that person from doing the thing they need to do. So I think we realize that math becomes a gateway into STEM, And when we have friction in that math experience, we start to limit career opportunities for the community. And so that caused us to go back and relook at the math experience with a much deeper lens and say, okay, this is an area where we can't just be good, we have to be great. And we have to think even deeper and harder about the accessibility experience and really treat the equation editor more as an assistive technology and fund and resource it appropriately.
Yeah. So Peter, you gave this amazing talk and I took so many screenshots of it and I did tweets and everything. Not tweets because I'm not on Twitter anymore, but social media posts. And yeah, I mean, I love some of the things that you pointed out in there. Like the number of equations and things that you were talking about. Can you, like, just for listeners, like, give us some of those, like, amazing high level things that will make people go, oh, okay, wow, I didn't really realize that. Now I see why we're talking about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I can start out just with a little bit of an introduction about how I got started working in math a little bit over a year ago. I had worked on it a little bit before then, just in general, trying to get all of the types of content in PowerPoint and other kinds of documents to make sure that they're accessible when you're reading them in the app and when you export them to PDF and things like that. And it was around April that Sarah Schunkweiler, a instructional designer at Johns Hopkins, reached out to me on LinkedIn about how she was really struggling with making math accessible. And it was due to limitations in our tools and having to use several different tools in her workflow. And really just wanted to, you know, this process to be a whole lot easier. And I realized, first of all, I reached out to her to learn more about that and wanted to let her know about the accessibility of math that we do have built in to Microsoft 365 apps. And in doing my own deep dive into that to kind of explain it and walk through it, I realized that it wasn't working as well as it should, really. Yeah. And there were some shortcomings. And then through talking with her, I learned more about their workflow and about how, things that they were expecting to work or wish they would work that way just weren't working the way they wanted to. And people were resorting to doing things like using add-ins and taking screenshots of math or typing out math in plain text. Those are all things we didn't think were a good experience for people who needed to consume the content with assistive technologies. So I went and tried to understand what's wrong here and try to fix it. So I wasn't an expert in the area at all, but I dove in and learned and started to make changes to PowerPoint and then Word and Excel and OneNote as well to improve the experiences there. And in the talk that you attended, I was giving kind of a summary of what's happened in the past year and what sort of impact that's had. The one that's very surprising to us is that bringing in math from other sources, in particular the web, with MathML is a lot higher than we expected. What we did is enabled copy paste of HTML that contains MathML in it. And there's a lot of it on the web now.
Which you wouldn't think is that high. Like,
yeah.
Even like I'm the chair of the MathML group. And I, like, when I saw this, I was like, wow, that is higher than I thought. So go continue. Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank you so much to Agalia to pull off this incredible, piece of technology that the whole world will benefit from, having native built-in MathML support in every major browser is a real game changer. And in the short time that that's been available already, there is an enormous amount of math on the web. And so we were seeing on the order of magnitude of like 150 million equations from HTML getting pasted into apps like PowerPoint and Word a month. So that blew our mind. And just shows, you know, how powerful that is. It overshadows like the amount of math that gets created directly in the apps using our ribbon and things like that. So, those all come in accessible form. And so we really love that. Wow. From there, you can read it with a screen reader in our apps, and you can also publish it to PDF in an accessible form and consume it there. With certain PDF readers and screen reader combinations, you can read that math in a hierarchical way and really have a great experience understanding it. Yes, that's right. It's a little bit lower in the summer months, but that's about the level that we were seeing going into the summer. And then we'll track how it's doing in the fall. We expect the numbers to
every
go
month
higher as more
point,
people discover it and more sources of content come online. And also, we've also made some improvements that expand our coverage.
Wow.
So it's a really exciting to see that all come together and to see the usage really go up like that.
You know, the other day, Peter enabled paste that had LaTeX in it as an HTML attribute. And I just checked the scorecard, and we like 30 million people, you know, in the last 30 days, or 30 million equations in the last 30 days got pasted. It's one of those, just goes like the amount of the upside about how quickly people picked up. I've never seen something go from effectively zero to as much usage as we had almost overnight. And that's just because, you know, people already were pasting HTML. They were already trying to do the scenario, but what they were getting was gobbledygook.
And, yeah, right.
And when you think about accessible content, these are, you know, you're now students who are showing up in class, and before, they might have had, you know, the professor would have replaced that with an image. That's what Sarah and many folks were trying to do. They replace that with an image, which isn't accessible to anybody, well, or to the accessive technology. So we're excited about how it just makes the whole world of accessible content, you know, much easier, much more approachable for people, so they don't have to do the extra work of recreating those equations inside of Word or PowerPoint.
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit more context on this this new growth of bringing in LaTeX that's in HTML web pages. What I had noticed is that there are some major websites out there that use KaTeX to embed math in the page. And KaTeX has, it typically starts with a LaTeX source content. And then you can configure it to render something that'll display in the browser, as well as generate MathML that can be used by assistive technologies in the browser. But what we found is that some websites configured KaTeX to not include the MathML. So that's unfortunate. But even when they do that, KaTeX will write the LaTeX content into the HTML markup in an attribute. And so we just did a little customization to our HTML import to recognize, and it's very unambiguous. KaTeX has specific class names that it's using in a specific attribute where they put the LaTeX. So we can kind of just scope it down to that case. We can find that LaTeX and import it. And that just has a huge impact. We found that there's actually quite a lot of web pages out there that are configured this way. And now we can bring that math into Word and PowerPoint and OneNote. And prior to that, the math was just skipped. Either that, or you would get the raw LaTeX source. And from there, if you knew what you're doing, you could convert that to native math. But it takes some work to do it.
This is... this is interesting to me too, because you heard Eric kind of say, wow, but you didn't get his eyes bug out of his head when you gave that number. You know, we can see on the video here. That's how I responded too. But, you know, those are not just, you know, they're not just mathematical jokes. These are like important things that have to do with like STEM education and, you know, maybe important research. Like this is, a big societally important thing. And for better or for worse, the web is not the main way that STEM shares math. I mean, I think historically it's in PDF form, right? So you also have done a bunch of stuff with PDF, and PDF, I think you said was, I have a screenshot here, 347 million equations a month from PDF. That is like amazing. You know, I mean, I would like if more of that came to the web, not in PDF form, mm-hmm. but, you know, the fact that these all interoperate, you can copy and paste between them. They all work for accessibility. Like, this is so great. I just think
those numbers are so big. It's like, that's like an equation for every human in the United States.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes we just see these big numbers and we're like, oh, what does that mean? You know, there's another area here that I think is also interesting. And that came from feedback we had from Daisy. When they went out and talked to their users, they're like, sometimes we get confused as we're navigating through an equation. And we're really good at telling you when you leave a fraction or a numerator or a denominator, but we weren't telling you when we were entering that part. And so I don't know if you all know Murray Sargent. So Murray's been working in math for decades. He retired a few years ago. When I got the call,
OG MathML guy from the late 90s, I think, even. He was an early Microsoft employee, like very early Microsoft employee.
He was, and he's the one who wrote most of the math code inside of Office, especially the equation editor. So Murray's like 84. He's still incredibly fit, super active. So when I got this call from Agalia, and they started telling me about, or not from Agalia, but from Daisy, like one of the first things I did is I called up Murray and I said, hey, Murray, like we're getting some feedback on your math experience that there's some bugs and challenges. And he's like, Clint, I would love to come back and help and work on some of this stuff. So, you know, so Murray came back and he's been helping Peter and myself ramp up in the area. But he also dived into this area around start equation, end equation. So that as you're moving through, you'll hear what is, you know, start numerator, end numerator. If you go into a square root, start square root. And so, you know, it's been fun to have Murray kind of come back as a part-time contractor and participate in helping us, you know, rethink our math strategy and point things out to Peter, because Peter is fairly new in this area. But for Murray's... It take a moment for us to sit back and look at his contributions that he's made throughout his career. And recently we were it was a real privilege to present to Murray a Lifetime Achievement Award from Microsoft for his work in digital math. And, you know, I think that's just part of us trying to recognize that the work we're doing is really building on the shoulders of a lot of other people, not just Murray, but, you know, folks like Neil Sofer, who's doing work in MathCat, and the work you all have done inside of the browser for rendering math. And so it's just been fun to kind of like get to know many of the people that have been involved in math for a long time. And when we share this impact, you know, I think everybody's been, you know, pretty surprised at the growth that we've seen in math.
Yeah, we'll include a link to the article on the Microsoft 365 Insider's blog, Meet Murray Sargent, the Quiet Force Behind Accessible Math. I'm really pleased to see him get some of that recognition, because he was like a champion for all those things for a really long time. And not just any champion, but, you know, there were times when most of the world had kind of given up on MathML. Like, it's, we got it so far, but then there's this complicated history where it got taken out, basically. And then it took a step back and overnight lost, like, you know, a billion potential users or something like that. And it just kind of went downhill for a long time, and it got stuck until it came about. Agalia tried to rejuvenate it and get it through. And we got some funding. We got a grant. But we really tried to find people to help sponsor the work. And it was really, really difficult. Even big publishers and, you know, browsers, like, nobody really wanted to invest in it, because there's not a big return on investment you can point to, right? Like, there's not like a, it's very difficult to explain to somebody why this is so important.
Yeah.
especially the people who write checks, you know? And so at one point we were kind of stuck and Egalia was just footing the bill all along and it was getting really difficult. And we decided to start a collective. And Eric gave a great talk about how we could use collectives to fund a lot of important work and do important things so that no one organization or person or group of people has to foot the bill, but we fund it a lot more collectively. And to launch that effort, Neil and Murray provided, I think, $120,000 out of their own pockets to launch that effort and really helped us, you know, push it over the finish line.
So that's awesome. You know, at the Ability Summit, we had really one of the most moving experiences where we had a guy named Alex, who's a blind developer. He works on the Excel team. And just as he entered college, he'd lost his sight. And he was a computer science major. And he was just like, I wouldn't have been able to get through college if it wasn't for the work that Murray had done in the equation editor inside of Word. And so Alex and Murray had this conversation where they talked about his experience and how well the code worked and how, you know, Alex reflected like, I would not be at Microsoft today as an engineer if it wasn't for the work that Murray's done. And I think one of the things that from there that has been super insightful is we're not just talking about math is more accessible now for the next 6 months. Like exactly. The work we're doing here will live on probably past us being around and even involved in technology. And so for me, it's really, I love to see us lay this really solid foundation that folks like yourself have built on, that Murray have built on, that allows us to put people in a place where they can have equal access to STEM education.
In my experience, being relatively new to this in the past year, hooking all this up and seeing the great impact that it has, was that I know that the foundation that all this is built on was something that took multiple decades to put into place. And it was, you know, it takes quite an investment, quite a tenacity to stick with it that long, to see it through, to build all of that's needed. So really appreciate everybody who's been involved in that effort and really pushed through. And I think that maybe throughout a lot of that time, we weren't seeing the payoff, but now we do. And it's amazing how all the pieces have come together now, and we're seeing this accessible math at scale throughout the world. And we really want to change the equation. There's a lot of inaccessible math out there, but you know, the mix is going to change to where a lot more of it is going to be accessible math. And that's going to make a huge difference to everybody.
Hey, do you want to talk a little bit about the work you've done in LaTeX and just improving the overall support we have for LaTeX? Because I think when you talk about STEM education, LaTeX is another really important part of that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So as a grad student in the 90s, that's where my first experience with LaTeX. And I thought at the time, well, this is neat and all, but like personal computers and GUI was coming out. And, you know, I liked apps like Microsoft Word in the very early days. I was thinking that's really going to take over, you know, because your average person is not so technical to, you know, program, write code to write a document. They can just, you know, point and click with Word. But here we are 40 years later, and people are still, LaTeX is still going strong. So there's a reason behind that. And so, you know, I recently got back into that in talking with Sarah Schunkweiler and one of her associates, Jeffrey Kwan from the Ohio State University that she works closely with. He's a deep mathematician and researcher. He writes tons of papers in LaTeX. And he said plainly, you know, there's a whole community of people here that, you know, if you want them to use Word and PowerPoint and do math in them, you have to support LaTeX. You know, end of story. They will not even start trying to use it unless it's there. And then, so I looked at what we had, which was starting in 2018, I believe, we had LaTeX support in Word. And quickly, I was able to hook that up at PowerPoint so that we can have it there as well. But then through the course of doing that, testing it out and trying it, I got onto these research papers that people were writing, I found, well, it can handle certain things, but there's a lot of things that it's going to trip up on. I found that, like, in analyzing the LaTeX that's used on Math Stack Exchange, for example, it only handled about 90% of the keywords used there. So we really needed to make it more robust if we wanted people from the LaTeX world to come in and use Word and PowerPoint. So, and I was just getting started with AI coding agents and seeing if, you know, that can help us accelerate our work. So I gave that a try with just revamping LaTeX in Word and PowerPoint and such, and built a whole new LaTeX converter and really put it to the test in terms of real world content, and tried to just get as much coverage as I could. And so that people that are used to using it for their research papers and other materials like that could easily come in and make that work for them in Word and PowerPoint. So we have a much, much more robust system now, like 99.5% keyword coverage of what's used on Math Stack Exchange, for example. And I also found out in the course of looking at all that MathML that we were bringing in from the web, and I discovered, as you were saying, no one writes MathML. All that MathML was auto-generated, and it was generated from LaTeX. So basically, there's like around four major platforms that convert LaTeX to MathML, but the source is LaTeX. And having a direct line for that LaTeX to get into Word and PowerPoint was really important. So we invested in building that.
And then back the other way, so we can go back from LaTeX into MathML.
I
have experience with one of those four major. Well, maybe it's one of the four major platforms. I used MathJax for a project once. I actually have a copy here. This is the Effects of Nuclear Weapons Third Edition from 1977, which has a whole lot of equations in it, like. I can show, here's an example of like pages of equations. Anyway, this was published by the Department of Defense, and I studied nuclear policy for history, and a friend and colleague is also big into nuclear stuff. So he pinged me and said, hey, I'm thinking about, because this was only ever available in PDF form. He said, I want to do it in HTML form. What do you think some of the structures should be? And I gave him some advice, and I said, you know, if you want some help, let me know. Well, So we ended up doing a ton. So it's all, I basically rewrote all of the equations as LaTeX, but then used MathJax to turn them into, you know, whatever. I have occasionally thought in the past year or so that maybe I should convert them all to raw MathML and remove the MathJax part. I'm a little hesitant just because of older browsers, but it does still occur to me that in the same way that there are a lot of diagrams in the book, and I remade some of them as SVGs, but I haven't put the SVGs in yet because it's one of those, you know, a sufficiently old browser that doesn't have good SVG support, a PNG is more likely to be viewable, or if we turn it into a JPEG or a GIF or whatever. It's sort of that same impulse of, ooh, I can make this be like really cool, but yeah, I have to think. But yeah, it's interesting to me that now I could, for example, select one, you know, drag select a session of that text and just like paste it into Word or paste it into PowerPoint. If I were doing a presentation, then it should just work.
It just works. Yeah.
And I want to call back the thing that that you said about the LaTeX uptake. You went from 0 to 30 million LaTeX.
We have about a million people pasting 30 million equations, and we just started rolling it out.
And that's just a LaTeX that's embedded in HTML web pages.
Right.
We believe primarily in KaTeX.
Yeah, that was interesting to me because that's already 10% of the number of PDF equations, right? That was 347 million PDF equations.
Yeah, that peaked around 500 million before the summer. And taking a little bit of a dip, but we'll see what the numbers look like in the fall.
Right, when the students all come back. But okay, so it's maybe 5%, but that's right off the bat. I mean, most technologies would dream of even a fraction of that kind of immediate uptake.
Yeah, absolutely. And we think, again, like this is really changing the makeup of the content that's available on the web and in the enterprises and in the universities and such, that a larger and larger percentage of it is going to have accessible math going forward.
You know, another area that we're looking into, we don't have any announcements or anything, but I think ASCII math is also interesting. And being able to support that as an import source as well. And so, you know, we're thinking beyond, and we're continuing to look at new things we can be doing in the future. But
we found there's some fans of it that think it's easier than LaTeX. And so there's a community of people that use it.
Yeah, interesting. Because I remember looking at ASCII math when I was starting on this project, and in my case, pretty quickly came to the conclusion that LaTeX was probably going to be better for what I was doing, or what I needed to recreate. Actually, I wasn't even doing it; I just needed to recreate it. But
we're working closely with Neil to bring MathCat into Narrator. So work is ongoing there. We had it available for a few months, but we pulled it back. But we're working hard to really make Narrator a great end-to-end experience with math. And I think the support of MathCat is going to be a really critical step as we look to the future of building on the phenomenal work that Neil has done for the last decade or so about reading math out correctly.
And I'm curious, so you're ingesting these pastes and creating accessible math. What's the export story? Like, how does this stuff export?
It's a great question. So first, we focused on PDF. It's at least in the workflows we look at in Microsoft 365, there's a lot of people that export to PDF. It's a common target for how you're going to distribute your content. Not as much on the import side, and then maybe we can do more on that in the future. We have not enabled MathML in HTML export yet, but that is something we're very interested in doing. We'd love to know if there's other apps that would consume that. So we're very interested in learning more about that. We do have to approach it with a bit of caution to make sure that because there's a lot of apps that depend on the HTML export that we have currently, and to make sure we don't break any compatibility with that. We have to make sure that we keep that kind of experience intact. So it'd probably be something that if we ever add that, we would have an option for. So people could include MathML in their HTML exports or not, depending on, what kind of workflow, what kind of scenario they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking of it in the context of, I would like to take this accessible math and HTML that, let's say, Word has created or whatever, export it to HTML and put it on a website.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be, I mean, ideally there would be a more direct pipeline. I wouldn't have to paste it through something like Word, mm-hmm. but sometimes that's how you get things done.
Right. Today you can save as HTML and Word in a way that will preserve all the fidelity when you can read it back into Word. Or if you just want to publish on the web, your main goal is to make it render well in a browser, then there's a filtered HTML option to give you something that's a little bit more streamlined. That currently will create PNG images of your math to show in the web. Like I said, that is something we're interested in tackling next is, putting MathML in there as an alternative to the PNG images or maybe in addition to it so that people have that option as well.
I just wanted to go back to the thing that you were saying about, we're saying like nobody writes HTML, nobody writes MathML. You fall into a couple of basic camps, right? You either get some kind of WYSIWYG that has nice mapping for people who don't do programming or whatever, or maybe if you're somebody like the people on this call, maybe you use like Markdown because just like very quick shorthand for the simplest things that you do all the time. Maybe other people are super comfortable with LaTeX. Maybe some people are, some other thing, but those are kind of like the three major camps. And then to combine that with the thing that Peter was saying earlier about, we have to build all these layers of infrastructure before you can realize the full benefit and that like all these pieces are starting to click together. I just wanted to mention that, we have published also like things to embed LaTeX in your Markdown and things to embed ASCII math in your Markdown. And I worked with Murray. Murray also invented Unicode math. So you can embed Unicode math in your Markdown. Those are all cool, and they all just generate native MathML. It's pretty nice, and it should be accessible and beautiful and understandable and internationalized where that makes sense. Cool. The other thing that I can say is in things like React and Vue, that these things that build dynamic apps. They do actually sometimes include math as well. People build these dynamic math applications, and believe it or not, they didn't handle MathML because you have to make sure that when you create these things, you put them in the MathML namespace, or else they're just unknown elements. And so my colleague Luke sent pull requests to all of those and got it. So we're getting all of the pieces at all the layers for things that create math and, they can interoperate, they can understand one another. And I don't know, I think it's just amazing. We're going to see so much more than we're seeing now. It's still so early.
Absolutely. It's an amazing ecosystem that we're building here. And I love math in Markdown. It's not something we support yet, but definitely something we're interested in. And that's another great way to get, math into Microsoft 365. So definitely looking at that.
One of the things I've thought a lot about is students in lower income countries, students from families that don't have parents that come with a strong math background. And I think it's really powerful that as we start to move forward, AI is really good at explaining math concepts. And I think all of this framework that we've been laying down provides it where students in the future who might not have access to quality math tutoring can start to use AI models to get feedback and to learn the principles of math. And so I see AI really helping maybe close some of the gap that some students have about getting from where they are today to where they want to be from a career perspective.
Yeah, if you could believe it, some of this was part of the original purposes, even considerations of MathML going back into the 90s. You know, there are people who thought that AI was right around the corner, you know? And this was spearheaded, you know, one of the original authors was Neil Seufer, and he was with Wolfram. And, you know, they were trying to build some things that understood math, you know, like really understood it and could do interesting things by understanding math. So that's still a really interesting bit of history, I think. But I think you're absolutely right. Like when the benefit that we get from explaining these things in this way is that now we have ways to like commonly understand them. And that means they become more explainable. They become more, you know, indexable. They become more useful, basically.
What an amazing journey. It's over 30 years to, you know, get MathML into the browsers in 2023. And you're hitting right at the right time. AI chatbots exploding on the scene. And now AI chatbots have math built into them and can present it in the proper form using MathML. And it's just really incredible to see. It was a bit mind-blowing. I hadn't seen it until I deep-dived into math in the past year. These AI chatbots conversing very naturally with math, answering your questions and presenting it in easy-to-read forms. And now you can copy-paste that content into Microsoft 365 apps as well. What an amazing set of things to all come together at once.
You know, I have an 11-year-old, and you know, I've been watching this journey about her moving through the different stages of math, and she pretty regularly will go into Copilot and ask questions and then sit there and read through the explanation and work to understand it. She still has to pass the test. She understands she has to learn the concepts. But, you know, she relies far less on me or her teacher to be her tutor, because she does have access to this. And, you know, my daughter's probably lucky that she has access to people that can help her do that. I really think about the kids who, you know, come from inner cities and come from parents that don't have that education, where I think I just get excited about the impact it has in marginalized communities.
Yeah, this is, I think, all really, really interesting and compelling. I don't know if there are any other notes from your presentation that you wanted to, you know, make people aware of, or some cool statistics that we didn't get to cover or anything.
It's just really the combination of everything coming together. It was about making the math experience more accessible in Microsoft 365 apps and the output that it produces, as well as making it easy for people to create that kind of accessible math. And there's a lot of different ways. And in the coming months, we're going to add more ways to make it easy for you to bring in that accessible math into Microsoft 365. And so really, one thing I want to leave with is just a call to action for everybody to check it out and to put it into practice. So if you create any sort of content with math, take a look at how you can make that content accessible. And if you're not including math yet, maybe you should be. And maybe that's really going to take your communications and content to the next level. Really get into, you know, how things work and explain it with our universal language, math. So thank you.
If I had three takeaways, the first one would be, I'm just super grateful for folks like Murray and Igalia that have just been building this platform for decades that puts us in this spot where when AI comes together, we can take advantage of it. So lots of gratitude for people that have been doing the nitty gritty work down under the covers for decades now. The second one for me is I'm thankful to the community, folks like Daisy and Sarah, who've reached out to us and really shared their experience. I think that we've become better and more informed and make better product decisions because of listening to the voices of the disability community, helping us understand what's working well and where we have room to improve. And so the voices of the community has had a big impact. And then the third for me is I'm just excited about the future. we have more things going, MathCap coming, you know, inside of Windows. I think that AI has given us tools where we can do more with math and accelerate the work we're doing in this area. And so we have more things. Maybe we come back in another show and talk more about some of the stuff that we have going on. But I'm excited about the future of math and how we're going to make it more accessible, especially towards marginalized communities and the disability community.
Yeah, me too. And I think, you know, there are a long list of things that we'll continue to do to like continue to improve all these little things. Like I said, you know, maybe this system doesn't support it. Maybe this PDF reader and operating system doesn't support it. Maybe, you know, we have to, the work is never done, but every time we do close those gaps, they kind of are pretty guaranteed to stay closed for either forever or for a very, very long time without much more investment. So I love that we're making progress and that it's progress that has numbers that we can talk about, because it's not just like, look how beautiful that math is. It's like, no, this is, you can see it's in wide use. It is important. Here's what's happening. And it's important. So great. I'm really excited. Thanks for coming on and talking to us. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having us. And thank you for the amazing work Agalia's done to bring math on the web alive. It's truly incredible what impact it's had.
And let's keep pushing. We're not done. Yeah. Let's keep going. Yeah.
Good.
Sounds good. Thank you.